morning, I'm going to look at why you need a good shepherd. Beginning with why you need a shepherd, and just to make sure you understand the context, talking spiritually. Why you need a shepherd, why you need a good shepherd, and then some of the things the good shepherd does for us, provides for us, beginning with the basics, spiritual sustenance, and also safety and security, and spiritual supervision over our lives, and then finally, sanctification and salvation. That's why we need a good shepherd. Well, first, why do you need a shepherd? January 2018, Betsy and I, the opportunity to travel to Japan in order to visit our missionaries in Asia. We were going to go up to Ashinomaki to visit Dean and Linda Bengtson, and then also the Christoffersons from Taiwan were going to join us. The Christensens from other part of East Asia were going to join us up there. But before we were heading north to Ashinomaki, we took the train from the airport into still part of the greater Tokyo area, but a city called Mitaka. And we were going to stay the first two nights at the Team Mission House, a place for missionaries and others in ministry traveling through the area. And so Betsy on her phone, and I believe we probably had a printout as well, to get us to this Team Mission House in Mitaka, which it said was only a 10-15 minute walk in this city of 200,000 from the train station there. But we get off the train and we step outside on this nice afternoon in January, and we're looking at the directions and we have no idea. Okay. So then we see, not far from the train station, there's like the Ottawa Visitor Center. I don't know if Betsy could read it. Somehow we knew or could recognize, okay, this is for visitors, and had a look. We go in there and we explain and show where we're trying to get to and try and communicate. And I think they tried to offer some help and maybe some directions, but we still stepped outside from this visitor center. We still don't know where to go. But there's a woman. Now, I don't remember, honestly, if we even took a moment to pray, or if in the back of our minds we're just kind of like, Lord, you know, we need some help here. Well, sometimes God answers prayers even if we're not in the moment praying. See that? So a woman, if she just notices, I mean, we stood out, you know, from the people. We obviously were travelers, tourists, whatever. And she comes over, and she may have said, konnichiwa, hello. She may have said, do nasaimashita, which is my attempt at saying in Japanese, may I help you? But I'm thinking she probably actually tried to say it in English and tried to communicate, you know. But anyway, she was there. We could tell. And so we showed again the directions. She's like, hi, which is hi is in Japanese can mean yes. And it can also mean like, I see, I understand. Just covers a lot of ground. Hi. So she looks at that, and then she, you know, the international sign, I believe. I don't remember all this. I'm kind of filling in. But this, the gist of it, the international sign for follow me. You know? So she, with the directions and where we want to get to, Team Mission House, she doesn't just say, you know, or try and point us, which wouldn't have helped again, but she leads us. She walks with us to at least one block this way, and then I think another block perhaps this way, until we're on the street that has the Team Mission House. Then she can point ahead and say, there it is. She took us, led us, guided us to where we needed and wanted to go. And, you know, in this life, probably never see her again. After that, we did not see her again. I hope and pray, if you pray today for this unknown woman to us, and perhaps she was an angel. But if not, pray that she is in heaven someday. Very few people in Japan, based on studies, are Christians, but a very nice culture. If you ever go there, nice people. Well, we need a shepherd. So she provided, in a very brief time, but one of the roles, if not two, and that is help and also guidance and also leading. This is what a shepherd does. Shepherd provides much more than that, though. And a shepherd doesn't just say, okay, sheep, I got you for this few part of this day, and then you're on your own. No, a shepherd stays with the sheep all the time and provides help, healing, protection, sustenance, friendship, guidance, leadership, teaching, and more. And spiritually, all of those areas and more, anyone of you, of us, have that covered without any help whatsoever? No. Thank you for not raising your hand, because you need a shepherd. The Bible talks in many areas, many places, about if we need a shepherd, that means we are spiritually what? Sheep. Sheep are very, it's a humbling connection, but it's true. Psalm 95 references us as the people of God's pasture, the flock in his care, in his hand, and many more. So we need a shepherd for all these reasons. We also need a good shepherd. We need a good shepherd. If you have a bad shepherd, well, at the mild end of bad shepherding, perhaps even this woman back in Japan, if she had the heart or desire to help us, but then she saw, okay, that's, you know, where we want to go, and then she took us in the wrong direction because she didn't know. That wouldn't be very helpful. In fact, it would be make things worse. Well, that's at a very mild end. She had a good heart, but just didn't know how to do it or get us there. But in the Bible, it talks about bad shepherds. Bad shepherds lead people spiritually not to God, but away from God. And bad shepherds take advantage of the sheep. We heard from Ezekiel chapter 34. It's an amazing chapter, connecting with Psalm 23 and John 10 and others. Well, we heard starting at verse 11 about when the Lord steps in and says, I myself now will shepherd you, my people, because, here's why, the people that God had put to shepherd his people, primarily here we're talking about the kings over Israel and Judah. This is Ezekiel 34, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, that would be Ezekiel, the prophet, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep, says the Lord, wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. And it goes on. After the kingdom of Israel divided, so we had King Saul, King David, King Solomon, United Kingdom, King Solomon's son Rehoboam. Not a good king right from the get-go. In fact, right from the get-go, 10 of the tribes of the 12 tribes headed north and said, you're not our king. Well, then Jeroboam was the first king in the northern kingdom, which retained the name Israel. The two tribes in the south had the name of Judah. Divided kingdom, Judah and Israel. And over the span of time, they had 39 kings over Israel and Judah, 39 kings between the two of them. How many of those 39 kings that we read about in the Bible were good shepherds? There were 8, I think. And some of those we could maybe talk about and say, well, they weren't, and none of them were perfect, by the way. But out of 39, and none of them in the northern kingdom of Israel were good. The 8 that were good as far as leading the people back to God, point A, were all in the southern kingdom of Judah. Otherwise, we read again and again, both in Israel and Judah, this king, this so-called shepherd, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Led the people away from God, took advantage of the people, and sometimes worse. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about namely the Pharisees, but also some others, now not kings, but religious leaders of the people. Pharisees, teachers of the law, chief priests, and others. And Jesus said, that the Pharisees in John chapter 20, or John chapter 10 rather, that they come into the flock as thieves and robbers, not only to steal and take from the sheep, God's flock, but even to take the sheep and lead them away and astray themselves again and to take advantage of them. He goes on and says, not only as thieves and robbers, but come in to kill and destroy. And he's talking again spiritually. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. For false prophets, he says, they come to you in sheep's clothing. You know, we could say, he does literally say that, but we could say they come to you in shepherd's clothing because they're coming in as prophets, as teachers, as leaders, and they look perhaps like a shepherd. But he says inwardly, underneath that outward appearance, they are ferocious wolves. Again, they've come not to help and lead and guide you, but to attack and spiritually, if you don't watch out, lead you away and astray, which leads to death. Watch out. So, we need a good shepherd because the bad shepherds are, I have to do this once today, okay, are really, really bad. That was the best it ever came out right there. I think I could do it. Sorry, not sorry. Good shepherd. We need a good shepherd. Here's what a good shepherd, and of course, as I say, a good shepherd, through all this, we're looking at the good shepherd. Provides spiritually for his sheep, beginning with the basics, spiritual sustenance. Connects with our physical life as well, in the sense that what do we need to take in on a daily basis? Food. And we read in Psalm 23, makes the good shepherd makes us lie down in dry, barren, rocky, thorny pastures that aren't even pastures. No, green. There it is right there. And makes us lie down in green pastures. The Apostle Peter, when he is reinstated by Jesus in John chapter 21, when Jesus asks him three times, Simon, the son of John, do you love me? Peter says, you know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. We're actually going to look at that next Sunday in the sermon. But what does Jesus say then? Three different times he says to Peter, feed my lambs, Peter. Take care of my, Jesus says, my sheep. And then the third time again, feed my sheep, the flock. They need food. Now, what is the spiritual food that we need that Jesus is talking about? It is. Not this book. I mean, a goat or a sheep might actually try to eat the book itself. God's word, our daily bread. We do not live on bread alone, you know, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the food. Peter, number one, primarily, preach, teach, feed the flock. My words, Jesus' words. Yes. Which is, you could say, spiritually, it is Jesus himself. We feed on him as we feed on his word. We also need not only food spiritually, but water, drink, refreshment. We need that every day. Now, there's an interesting passage in the Gospel of John chapter 7. Jesus says, come to me, anyone who is thirsty, and I will give you spiritual drink. And he says that within you, when you come to me and drink, springs of living water will well up within you. And then it goes on and says he's talking actually about the Holy Spirit. In order to even live as a Christian, we need. This isn't optional. This isn't like, oh, I'm going to do this on my own, but then when I need the Holy Spirit. No, in order to live in Christ, that is the Holy Spirit within us that we need all the time. So we need food, God's word. We need the Holy Spirit. Spiritually, which we receive from our good shepherd. And this isn't in the word as clearly or explicitly after the food and the drink, but what are we doing all the time that we don't even think about it? We need air. We need oxygen. And we can equate this, at least today, to think about with prayer. So I was thinking about the Apostle Paul's words when he says to pray. as a believer in Jesus without ceasing. Always be praying. Don't stop. I was like, well, how do we do that? Well, if you think about breathing, we can do it. Well, we most of the time we're doing it without thinking about it. If we had to think about it, oh, remember, take a breath. You know, no, we just do it. But we can also, if you go to the doctor's office, they put the stethoscope on your chest or on your back and say what? Take a deep breath. We can intentionally do it as well. And this is like prayer. So we might be praying, like again, in Mitaka, we were very calm, by the way. Neither of us were panicking, which I only can say is, well, God was with us. We knew he would take care of us. We weren't worried. And you get this sense when the Lord is near and you're aware, even if you're not intentionally thinking in prayer, without ceasing. But then there's moments, Jesus says, go in your room, close the door, and intentionally, on your knees, pray. Breathe deeply. So God, as we heard earlier, can examine our hearts. Which ties in with another basic need. We have food, we have water, we have air, which is prayer. And we need health and hygiene. I'm gonna take a guess. I did shower this morning, just to let you know. I'm gonna guess that I'm not the only one who showered even today already. Just a guess. But you know, now I've showered today, and that should cover me until July. Somebody said, "Amen, brother." I brushed my teeth 2 weeks ago. That covers me till July. Basic personal hygiene, cleanliness. Again, stuff probably don't think about too much, but we know it's a basic need. Spiritually speaking, we had this also just a little bit ago in the service. What is to the good shepherd to look at us, examine us, see if there's any health issue and hygiene area that needs to be taken care of. And that comes through conviction by that same Holy Spirit of sin, so that we can then confess, this is spiritually unclean in my life. And so that, as 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, our good shepherd, and he will forgive us and cleanse or purify, yes, us. Cleanse us. Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and sin. So we are healthy and spiritually good hygiene, clean in Christ. By the way, even once a week, Sunday, it's good we have it all together. Again, like that shower, like that teeth brushing, I'm mentioning that because we need to do this every day. Meaning, examine me so I may confess. Even if you don't know it all, there's so many sins we're not even aware of. Just confess, I am a sinner. Please clean me, forgive me today. Spiritual sustenance. Take us into the next thing we need a good shepherd for, and that is safety and security. Now, I've read that sheep, if they are nervous, anxious, afraid, they are not actually able to eat or drink. They need a calm environment in order to eat and drink. Hence in Psalm 23, green pastures and leads us beside the rapids, whitewater rafting, Colorado River, waterfall. Okay, go drink. No, you think picture that? No. Some say quiet. Some say still. You know, I still picture when I realize like a river, but a really, really quiet, where it's moving, but it's so still and gentle, and it doesn't intimidate a sheep who can come up and drink. The reason that word quiet and still is in there, because if it's white waters or waterfall making a bunch of noise, it's going to scare them away rather than come to drink. We need safety. We need this sense of security. You think about it, that's true for us in a way too. People who are overly emotional about anything, you know, you lose your appetite sometimes. If you're distressed, depressed, all these other things, or afraid, you don't feel like eating and drinking. You got all this other stuff going on. We need this sense spiritually as well. And we read in Psalm 23, interesting use of words here. when it says, they comfort me. And before that, it says, you're the good shepherd's, your rod. Rod is like a club. Now, this is for defense against predators. A wolf, a bear, a lion, the shepherd doesn't just wait till it comes to the flock, goes out with the rod and takes care of that predator before it can get to the sheep. It might require some violence. In fact, it would. That's what it's about. Spiritually, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, not only lead us not into temptation, but keep that rod out, shepherd, and deliver us from the evil one. That's the devil. Number one predator, the devil, 1 Peter says, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone, a sheep, to devour. Lord, take care of that level, that devil, that lion, the devil. Also, as he said, watch out for false prophets. So it's not only the devil, but I mean, you got to be aware. And sometimes we need Jesus. We need the good shepherd to step in and kind of, I'm almost picturing it going this way, but just kind of a little gentle whack on us. Like, okay, watch out. What you're hearing here, I don't mean right now, hopefully, but you know, this isn't quite right. And if you're out in the world, be very wary. But all the time, even in church, Paul said that the Bereans were more noble because after they heard him preach, this is the Apostle Paul, they went home and studied the scriptures to make sure to see if what he said was actually true and right. Yeah, watch out. Lead us. But also then, not only the rod, but and the staff. They comfort me. He's got the rod. He's going to protect me from evil, from predators out there. But the staff is really about protecting us from ourselves. So the staff could be just a straight staff, but it also could have that hook or crook, you know, at the end, the shepherd's staff. Because if you picture a sheep walking too close to the edge of a cliff or a precipice, unaware, the shepherd sees and knows, okay, it's walking too closely. The sheep obviously is oblivious and just, or if need be, again, as much pressure as necessary, keep the sheep away from sin. Lead us not. God never leads us into temptation, by the way, but this is like that. You can picture us, keep us away even from the temptation because, and then we're down. And sin leads to plummeting, the fall into death. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The human heart, the sheep's heart, is deceitful. This is your heart. This is my heart. Is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Meaning we can't cure it. Who can even understand it? We think, oh, that looks neat. Or, oh, we lead ourselves astray. That's what I'm saying. We need the shepherd to take his staff and keep us in line. And he leads us on paths of righteousness, the right path for his name's sake, for him. And then right at the heart of Psalm 23, verse 4, part of that verse, this is it. If you just take verse 1 and you take this part of verse 4, that's all you need as a sheep. Because besides the rod and the staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil, for you, the shepherd, the good shepherd, are with me. At this very moment, fellow sheep, where is our good shepherd? He's right here. Whenever you think of it, guess what? He's with you. If you notice the voice change from third person, the Lord, speaking the Lord third person, is my shepherd. It shifts right there in verse 4. Second person, you. Not the Lord now, but you, Lord. You're looking, talking right to your shepherd. Are with me. That's all you need to know. The safety, the security, the provision, everything from the shepherd because he's with you. Again, not just for today, not once a week, saying, ah, that's enough for today. See how you do on your own this week. Sheep, good luck. Ah. Sorry. I said I wouldn't do it again. Right. That one, Rhonda, it just came out. I don't know. I'm a sheep. Can't help it. No, he's always with you. And we need that reminder. You are with me. Speaking of that, it leads to the next one. Spiritual supervision. I think some of us, even as sheep, we're this because of that sinful, deceitful heart, when it comes to supervision, we think, I don't know if I want somebody, supervising me all the time. Guess what, sheep? We need it. We need the good shepherd supervision all the time. All the time. Literally, the word supervision, super, above or over, vision, obviously, seeing, sight. We need this oversight. As a sheep, well, it is kind of like we have blinders on because we do, due to our own sin, due to our own hearts, due to our much lower level from the shepherd. We don't always see or know. In fact, we often don't. And for one thing, we don't see tomorrow. Sometimes we think we do. I just looked at the calendar. I looked at some scheduling things coming up. I'm like, I can see this coming week. I've got it all. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, even though I think I do. The shepherd, the good shepherd, he has supervision. And we're talking supervision. And it goes along with, as our shepherd, all the provision. We have that word provision, someone who provides for, where their pro is ahead. Vision again. How does he provide exactly what we need when we need it? Because he, the shepherd, sees ahead to provide with his provision and supervision what we need. Supervision. Jesus calls you, each one of you, who are his sheep, by name. It's in John 10. Jesus says, I know my sheep and I call them by name. This is one-to-one individual care from your shepherd. And he leads you out and he leads you in and he is always with you. And you can look at your shepherd and say, for you are with me. And I need this supervision. Jesus also, as the good shepherd, calls his flock as a whole. That's why we're here today as a sub-flock of the great flock of God. Meaning he wants us to come together to feed on his word, to experience and be reminded of and refreshed of the reality of his Holy Spirit in us, about prayer and the air we breathe, all of this. And he calls us the church, his flock, corporately. And you know what? A lot of the care that in this life we receive from him comes through fellowship. Right? Right now, as pastor actually connects with that word shepherd. Again, Peter, feed the sheep. By the way, this is my joy and my love is to feed, which I feed, we feed the sheep, take care of the lambs. But it's through us. And so that caring, that loving, that healing, that other leading and guiding, brother, sister, I could use some help here. I'm not sure about this. And the good shepherd through the flock works, the body of Christ. I love that. Spiritual supervision. And now we come to two theological terms that the good shepherd provides for us, his sheep. Sanctification. That's a church word. I don't know if I hear it in the world like at all. Sanctification. Sanctified. Means to be called and set apart as holy and to be made holy because it's a process. Justification is declared righteous, declared holy by God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to come back to that blood. But sanctification is this process of being made more like Jesus himself, made more holy. So the more you follow intentionally your shepherd Jesus, the more you simply look at him and look to him, you don't even realize it, But as you are looking to Jesus and following Jesus and hearing his word, he is sanctifying you. The Bible says, interesting verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, talks about as we behold the glory of Jesus, the glory of the Lord, as we just gaze upon it, we're transformed by it into that very glory of the Lord. Might not think of a shepherd as appearing glorious, but we look at our glorious shepherd, and the more we simply look at him, follow him, fix our eyes on him, it's happening. He's making us more like himself. Because as we hear at the end of Psalm 23, the goal, the end point of all this is to be with him, not here, like this, but in his house forever. Now, the house of the Lord, is it holy? It is the holy of holy of holies. Uncleanness, sin, evil, all of it, darkness, does not, cannot dwell or exist or be in God's house. It just isn't. So in order for us to be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, we need to be holy, holy, holy as God. Sounds impossible. Apart from God, it is impossible. And in fact, even sanctification doesn't get us there. So we could have reversed these because sanctification doesn't even begin unless and until you're saved. Salvation. When you are saved by the Good Shepherd, sanctification begins. You're called, you're set apart, and you are being made holy, as he is holy. God said that. Old Testament, it's quoted again in the New Testament, the Lord saying, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And we connect that. Why does he, it's not just command, be holy, it's because God wants us to be with him. We have to be holy. And to remind us again, yes, look to Jesus. Look to your shepherd. And he is making you holy. We need a good shepherd for your salvation. How good is your good shepherd? Mention the shepherd's clothing. Again, we often don't picture that as being glorious. Jesus is glorious. But how good is your good shepherd? He took off that glorious shepherd's garment. He took off his glory and put on not only sheepskin, but lambskin. And not only put it on, but became a lamb. Why? This is our good shepherd. Huh. How good is your good shepherd? He put on lambskin so that he would be led like and as a lamb to the slaughter in order to save his sheep. Worthy is the lamb that was slain, slaughtered for our sins. Jesus says, John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why did he do that? God so loved the world. God loves you, his sheep, so much that Jesus went to the cross. And by his blood, we are saved. Amen.